been on my heart a couple of weeks ago, and that one night just wasn't the time to preach it, so I'm going to try to preach this message tonight or get through it a little bit here tonight of what God put on my heart. But James chapter 4, the Bible says this in verse 14 or verse 13, he says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is what? Sin." All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I do pray for a burst of energy, Lord. I do pray that you'd help us as we look at these verses and preach tonight, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will have free will in here tonight to work in our hearts. Help us to be exactly what you'd have us to be. Lord, we want to praise you tonight for those that got saved earlier today. Lord, down at the jailhouse, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that maybe somebody in here tonight don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that tonight will be the night of their salvation. Or maybe one of them teenagers back there, Lord, that Brother Bush is preaching to tonight, Lord. Maybe they hear something that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of their heart and change their life forever, Lord. And we just give you the honor and glory and praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And, you know, I talk about this a lot, and I like to talk about it, but I try to get through those teenagers. I probably refer to them several times tonight, but I try to really get through to them sometimes, and we got an echo going on. I try to talk to them a lot and try to explain to them that instead of wasting their life and just, you know, worrying about school and then worrying about a job and worrying about all that stuff, not to waste their life chasing the dreams of the world, but to ask God what God would have for them to do for them. And I'm going to tell you something. I kid you not. People give me that weird look in the face when I try to talk to them about Christian life. And I'm going to tell you, if you submit yourself to God, you ask God what He wants you to do, and you want to be a servant of God, life is a journey and a half. I'm telling you, it is a journey. You don't have to be a preacher or called to preach to have an adventurous Christian life. And I know we're the type that gets settled in. I mean, we like to find that pretty house, and we like to settle into that house, and we get that job, and we're settled into that job and all that. And, you know, myself, I really ain't been all that about that my whole life. I was in the Navy. I traveled around everywhere in the Navy and got to go see a bunch of different places and do all that stuff. And then when I got saved back in 1996, that was my last year in the Navy, I got out. Felt like God didn't want me to be in the Navy no more, and I just submitted myself to God. I said, I don't have a problem with commitment. I've committed myself to the devil, amen, for 24 years of my life. I committed myself to the military. If you've ever been in that kind of situation, I committed myself to that. So when I got saved, I just said, I'm going to commit myself to God. Whatever God wants, that's what we'll have. I didn't make no plans that I'll be at this church for 3 years or that church for 5 years or this or that. I didn't make none of them plans. Matter of fact, my family got pretty mad at me because I got saved, and after a year of being saved, I got out of the military. I mean, it was 11 months or something like that, and I got out of the military. Well, you know what my family's expecting, right? Come home. And when I told them I wasn't coming home, they said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to stay right up here at the church I got saved at." I said, "I'm still learning. I'm still teaching. They're still teaching me. God's not done with me up here, and I'm going to stay here." And, you know, that sounded like the craziest thing to my family. They thought, "Are you kidding me? You've been away for 5 years. You've been doing all that stuff. And now here it is, time that you're free. You can come home," and you're saying no, that you'd rather stay with church people up there than come back home. That was really strange to them. But I had committed myself to God, and I'm going to tell you something. God has sent me on such a journey in my life that I could write books about all the stuff that God has done in my life. And the sad part is God will do that for any Christian.
Amen.
God, and they don't mean that you're going to travel here and there and all that stuff, but I'm talking about, and even some of you in here tonight are shaking your head already. If we started in here tonight and just went around the room, I guarantee you that there's some of you in here that could stand up, and I'm not talking about when you was all lost and doing all kinds of stuff. I'm talking about as a saved person, some things that God has done or showed with you or some things that you've experienced since you've been saved concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you got some pretty crazy stories. I know Brother Jim does when it comes to things in the jail and seeing God working there. And some of you others have got stories about this and that and all that. And you know, when we look at our scripture here tonight, he says in verse 14, he says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." Is that not true? None of us in here knows what tomorrow holds. I mean, tomorrow is a whole nother day. When you go to bed tonight, you have no idea what tomorrow is going to be like. I could be like Joel Osteen in here and smile and say tomorrow is going to be whatever you want it to be. But that is not true. Tomorrow, you and I have no idea what tomorrow is going to be. We never know if we're going to experience death in the family. We never know if some loved one is going to get a bad report from the doctor tomorrow. Just like Brother Stacy, he had no intentions of that. He was in the middle of a mission conference and ended up having a brain stroke in his... No, none of us knows what tomorrow holds. That's why today is so important. That's why today is the day we ought to live in. And I just want to talk about a little bit of that. People live in one of three tenses of life. I sat down and put a lot of thought into this. There's people today that live in the past. I mean, they don't live for today. They don't live for tomorrow or the future. They are living in the past. And then there's people that are living in the present. Whatever happens today, and we're just going to roll with it. And then there's people who live in the future. They can't even see today because they're worried about what's going to happen in the future. And if I don't get ahead of myself, that'll make sense in a minute. If you really think about this, and I put a lot of thought about these different tenses of life, and if you really think about it, yesterday can't be changed. You can't do anything about yesterday. Now, there is some things that's okay about yesterday. I almost, as I was writing this and thinking about it, I thought, there's no point in even thinking about yesterday. But that's not true. There's some things that are good about yesterday. There are some things that comes out of yesterday. We can learn from yesterday, right? I mean, we can look back and go, boy, that was a mistake. I better not do that again. You know, you can look back and go, boy, I've seen a bunch of people who buy a house out of the will of God, or they'll do something out of the will of God, or take a job out of the will of God and go, boy, I think I ought to think about that next time and not do that, or do different crazy things. So we can definitely learn from yesterday. We also can remember from yesterday. Remember, God was not against remembering things. Remember, He told the children of Israel constantly to make a memorial so that you don't forget this day. When he brought them out of the promised land, he said, when he got them out of the promised, or out of Egypt, he said, you make an altar and all that, and you make a memorial, so you remember this day. And there's some good things to remember in the past, is there not? One of my greatest things, remembering the day I got saved. I tell you, I always want to remember that day. I don't want to forget that day. I don't want to be old and senile one day and go, I just can't really remember how I got this way. Amen. I always want to remember the day I got saved. I always want to remember the day I got married to my beautiful wife back there on that road. That right there is a wonderful day to remember. And some of y'all can do the same thing. So yesterday is not a bad thing. We just can't live in yesterday. We just can't stay in yesterday. We have to move forward. We can even rejoice or hate yesterday, and we can even think about all the history that yesterday comes. But I thought about all the stuff on the news that's going on today. Oh my goodness, I like watching the news in the morning, and I tell you this all the time, and I'm not joking about it. I like watching the news in the morning so it gets me good and mad so I can go to work and have a good day. I get up in there, and one of my favorite things is GMA. I watch GMA. I'm not promoting them by any means whatsoever, but I like watching them, and they show all that stuff that's going on in the world. And I'm not saying anything out of turn tonight or anything like that. I prayed about this using this one illustration. I believe it's okay, but there's a lot of you and I. One of the things I think about yesterday and that's still plaguing our country today is the fact of slavery. That is still plaguing our country today. And I sat there and watched a good report of one of those famous actors. He's real old. He's about to die. But he's real old, and y'all would all know him if I could remember his name, but I can't remember his name. But I seen him in an interview one day, and they were interviewing him, and the interviewer's person, whatever you want to call them, asked him, says, "How do you feel being an African American in the state in 2014 that we live in?" And he just looked at him with a cocked eye, and he said, "I'm not an African American." He said, "I'm an American." He said, "I don't know nothing about Africa." He said, "I've never lived there. I've never been there." He said, "I'm as American as you are." You know, but people want to live in the past like that, do they not? And you know, even my generation and the generation ahead of me or behind me, whatever you want to call it, the younger generation, want to bring up stuff about slavery and all that and say we're like this because you and I don't know nothing about that time. That was way before you and I ever. I don't have a clue about anything about slavery. I don't know how all that stuff except for what I watch on TV or see on those documentaries and all that. But yet we still want to act like we live in that time sometimes, do we not? And I'll tell you, there's nothing about that at all whatsoever. I don't know what country I came from. Do you know what country you came from? I have no idea. But somewhere down the line, every one of us in here came from a different country. Our ancestors did. But you know what? Everybody in this room tonight ain't nothing but a simple American. Amen. I'm not an Irish American or African Americans or Italian Americans. We're Americans in here. And we can't keep living in the past and thinking that. But you know what? People want to do that. All this stuff that's going on in our country today, all this fighting and all that stuff and everything, wanting to bring this argument up and that argument up. You know what I'm going to do if my child acts up? I'm going to bust his butt. It don't matter if he's white or black or any of that stuff. I'm going to bust his butt. You know what children need today? They need their butt busted. It ain't got nothing to do with what happened 100 years ago. Is Ryan asleep? Ryan, you get yourself busted tonight on the way to church. Amen. Hey, that's just the way it is. You want to stop all this mess that's going on in the world? Quit blaming 100 years ago or 200 years ago and bust somebody's butt. Amen. And we're straightening a lot of this stuff out. You know, the news wants to bring up everything under the sun except that. Well, it's because of racial stuff, or it's because of this, or it's because of that. No, it's because parents ain't busting that hiney, amen, and taking care of them kids and getting them off the street, and things will be a lot different, amen. That's just my rant today. I've been ranting to Christy for a month, and I just had to get it off my chest, amen. I knew it was Wednesday night, I could get that off my chest, amen. But that's the simple truth. Quit living in yesterday and live for today, amen. Not only that, but I chuckle a lot of times, and y'all will know where I'm talking about with this 100%, but I chuckle within myself a lot of times because preachers want to live in the past. I know I got some of them preacher friends that are old, and all they want to do is preach about the past. They want to preach about how things used to be. They want to preach about the old revivals. They want to just live in the past all the time. But we don't live in the past. You know, we can bring up all these things. All they want to focus on is how it used to be and try to stay there. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You can get mad at me if you want. That's okay. I can handle it. I tell you that all the time. Some of you do get mad at me. But I'm going to tell you something. We live in 2015. We do not have a church in 1940. We don't have a church in 1880. And we don't have a church in 1776. We have a church of 2015. Now, you know very well that I'm not a liberal. I ain't all about that charismatic stuff and mosh pits and all that stuff they have at church. I am not for that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want to try to have a church the way they had in 1776, you won't have no people in it. That's the bottom line. If you try to have a church that they had in the 1950s and conducted in 1950s and in 2015, you won't have many people in it. Now, what do we do about that? Does that mean we change everything and we do all this stuff? I tell you what, the preaching is preaching, amen? God's Word ain't never changed, ain't never going to change, and we just preach it straight, we preach it right. Adultery is still adultery, fornication is still fornication, drunkenness is still drunkenness, all that stuff still the same. But I'm going to tell you, I laugh about this all the time. I do. This gets me all the time. I got some of them old school preachers that won't dare even think about changing the music in the church. Oh, no, we can't. Oh, no, we're not going to change the music in the church. Converting to worldlyism and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. Let me educate you just for a minute. Sister Linda, people did not dress like you and I do when the church started in Acts chapter 2. If we wanted to hold to that kind of stuff, we'd all be wearing robes in here, amen. We'd all have beards down to our belly buttons. We'd all have looked like that. And the women would have their hairs up in the bun because, boy, does the Bible not say a lot about women and the way they look and all that stuff. It trips me out how we get so stuck on the music part, but yet we don't mind changing our clothes and we don't mind changing all that stuff, but we don't want to change. Let me tell you something. I love music. I do. I love music like you wouldn't believe. I love the Gaither songs. I'm telling you, it ministers to my heart. I love all that stuff. And I know some of you ain't going to know some of this that I say, and that's okay. And some of you know would never admit that you know that you sing. But I like Casting Crowns. I like those songs. I enjoy it. They minister to my heart, those songs. And I tell you, I praise the Lord going down the road. People think I'm a nut. Praising the Lord, driving down the road. It don't make me think about getting on my hood and dancing. It don't make me think about ripping my shirt off and getting naked. It makes me want to praise the Lord. Amen. Makes me want to raise my hand up. And I tell you, if churches, and we got those kind of churches, that won't do anything about that, you know how many people they got in a church? 4, 5, 6. You know how many people come to their church? None. You know what happens to the visitors when they come? That's their last visit. They come in and they go, whoa, I'm done with that. Why is that? Because we don't live in 1880 no more, amen? We live in 2015 and the music does change and things do change. The only thing that doesn't change is the Word of God, amen? People are different today than they used to be, aren't they? I mean, those teenagers, let me tell you something, on Wednesday night, they say words I don't like. And I get on to them. I don't say that. And they go, what's wrong with that? Well, to them, there's nothing wrong with that. To me, it sounds horrible. I'm not, we ain't going to talk like that. And they said, what? Everybody talks like, well, I don't. Well, you know why? Because I was raised in 1970 and we don't talk like that. Amen. There's probably some things I say in here that Brother Corky goes, I can't believe he just said that. My wife, when I first got saved and I surrendered to preach, and my wife, we got married, and she started listening to me preach. She said, you're going to have to change some of them words you say. She said, it ain't good to say some of them words you say. She said, I know you don't see it. She said, but some of them words you say, the old people get offended when you say some of them. You understand? I mean, I was young, and I would say some of them words that even to me don't mean anything. They're just words. And she'd say, them old people don't like that when you say them words. Well, you know what? Now I know what she's talking about. Them teenagers say some of them words that I don't like, amen, and I get offended by them. Even though there's probably nothing wrong with them, I just don't like them, amen. And so times do change, and we all do change. But the thing is, we can't live in the past and think that everything's going to keep going in the future, amen. I mean, today is today. We have to look around at today. You know, if we have Vacation Bible School, and we'll have Vacation Bible School in a little while. What do you think the kids are going to think if you had one of those cups down here with a string and a ball tied to it, and that was one of the grand prizes? You know what I'm talking about? Where you flip that thing up and catch it in a cup? Who enjoyed that in the 40s and 30s? Just a few of you back there. But they really liked that. That was some supernatural kind of toy. You think the kids care anything about that today? No. You gotta have some remote control thing up here that does all kinds of crazy stuff and, you know, some bicycle that's got 100 gears in it and all that kind of stuff and all that crazy stuff. Because why? Because it's 2015. Wow. Amen? You got to live in the present. So, living in the past. And those preachers, I'll tell you, there's a preacher that I think of even tonight as we are going through this and thinking about this. There's a preacher tonight that is stuck on no mustaches and no wire-rimmed glasses and no cowboy boots and none of that stuff whatsoever. You can't preach in his church or any of that stuff. And you know why it's that way? Because of what went on in the 60s. In the 60s, if you wore wire-rimmed glasses, you was a pothead. You was all about peace and all that, like John Lennon and all that stuff, you know, and all that. But this ain't the 1960s no more. We got glasses that don't even have frames anymore, amen? I mean, they're new glasses, they're new ways, and, you know, we got those kind of preachers that's there. Then there's those who live in the future all the time. They base everything on the future and miss all the living of today. You know, that's what's wrong with that. Think about this for a minute. I don't even know what all my notes said. I'm starting to have a good time. So anyway, let me see what my notes say, because when I come down there, I forget. Actually, I just take them with me. Amen. Then I can just stay down there with you. One of the things I think about all the time, one of my buddies in 1999. Now, talking about living in the future, right? How many people lived in the future in 1999 and 1998? Tons of people did, because what did they start doing? Hoarding up everything. I mean, buying hundreds of thousands of canned foods and storing them in a closet and doing all this stuff. And I laugh at my buddy so much. He is a nutcase. And I, you know, I would never invite him here. I don't want you to ever know it. But he's a gun fanatic. I mean, just all about the guns, and got gun paranoia, I guess is what you would call it. That, oh man, all of our guns are going to be taken away and all the ammo is going to be gone and all that. I'm going to tell you something. In 1999, that was before I went to Haiti. It was before I started raising my support. Me and him was very good friends. He was helping me take my car on the road. He was taking care of all my business back here and all that. And all through 1999, I mean from the beginning of January all the way to that night when the clock struck 2000, he was storing up food like you wouldn't believe. He built a big old garage, like a 30 by 40 garage, to put ammunition in, to put food in, to put all this stuff in, because the world was going to shut down in Y2K. You know what I mean? You know what he missed in 1999? Living. He missed life. He missed a year of his life in 1999 that he could never get back. He missed the joy of playing with his kids in 1999. He missed the joy of things happening at church in 1999. He missed all that because he was too busy living for the future. And see, some people do that. I do that sometimes. I'm bad about that. Because, you know, my wife says, you're worried about Sunday. You know, one of my most stressful things is preaching. That is one of my most stressful things. It is my most enjoyable thing that I do when I start preaching. But getting prepared to preach, and my wife will tell you, is one of the most stressful things for me, because I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to make sure I'm preaching God's message. And I pray that God use me, that I'm not just entertaining you, but that you'll leave here with something in your heart that says, that changed my life. God spoke to me. Otherwise, we'd just go to the bowling alley and hang out. You know what I mean? Instead of having a preaching and me yelling and hollering and all that kind of stuff and acting crazy and all that. I think that when we come to meet and we hear something from God, God ought to speak to us. And if the messenger's right with God, you're going to hear something, God. At least maybe leave thinking about something, amen. And one of the things I miss out on sometimes is life, because I live in the future. I got my schedule. I know when I'm preaching next and all that stuff. And I'll sit there and Sunday will come. And okay, Sunday night's over. I got Sunday night over. Okay, well see, I'll give you an example. I had to preach tonight. How do you think Monday and Tuesday was? Horrible. You know, even though I'm at work and I'm working and I'm doing all that stuff and my wife and kids are there at night and all that stuff, my mind is just thinking about Wednesday night. I got to stand in front of them people. They take notes. They write bad stuff about me. And I got to stand in front of them Wednesday night. And I'm stressing out because I got to do good for God. I got to do my best for Him. I got to try to do my best for Brother Courtney. I got to try to do my best for all the guys there so that they don't think I'm an idiot. Amen. And I fail at that all the time. But anyway, I pray about all that stuff. And I miss out on living Monday and Tuesday. Let me ask you something. You think Wednesday night's going to take care of itself? Yeah. Wednesday night's going to take care of itself. You know how much time I had to study for this message tonight? None. I told her, she said, honey, have you even studied at all because of what's going on this week? I said, you're driving to church and I'm studying on the way to church. I said, that's the way it works tonight. And I said, we're going to pray that God shows up. Amen. We're going to pray that God just... And that's what I pray for. I say, Lord, I had a sweet little old lady tell me a long time ago. I preached in four or five jails and worked a full-time job, had all them brats, all that stuff, and I had a sweet, sweet little lady one day. She sat right over there. I can't remember her name. She's gone to be with the Lord, but she come up to me one day, and she just hugged me and put her hands in her, and she said, "Son, I know you don't have time to study. I know you don't have time to do what you're supposed to do and read your Bible and do all that stuff that you're supposed to do and all that." She said, "But you know what? I pray for you." And she said, "I believe God just gives you a little something special every now and then because you're trying to do right." You know, that meant the world to me. You know what she was trying to tell me to do? She said, "Just have more faith in God. He'll take care of this." Amen. Amen. That's what she was trying to tell me. She was saying, "Son, don't stress this so much. God's going to take care of you. Have a little more faith in Him and rely on Him." Amen. And that's the way to be. Start living for today. People that live in the future all the time do that. You know what's bad about that? We start basing all of our decisions on next year. We start basing all of our decisions on next week or next month and all that stuff. And you don't even know what's going to happen today. The Bible says there in verse 14 and 15, let me get back up here so I can read it because I don't have it memorized. But verse 14 and 15, it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" That's the question I ask myself all the time. What is my life? Am I living in the past? Am I living in the future? Am I making the right decisions that I'm supposed to be making? Where am I basing my decisions from? And I'm telling you, if you're always thinking about next week or next month and all that stuff, you're going to make the wrong decisions sometimes in life. Sometimes decisions in life have to be today. They have to be right now. And you have to rely on God to give you the answer for them right now. I don't know how many of you in here have been out soul winning before and talking to somebody about the Lord or run into a situation. You never know what situation is coming in your life. You never know who's fixing to approach you with a problem. You never know who's fixing to approach you with something devastating in their life. And I'm going to tell you something. You better be expecting God for a decision. Amen. What do I say right now that is right to say to them? I used to preach a message. I've never preached it here, I don't think. But I used to preach a message all the time and trip people out. It wouldn't anymore. Pastor's cell phone goes off all the time during the service. But back then, when the cell phone first came out, I had one hid behind the pulpit. And I would let it ring as part of my message. I'd just be preaching like this and it'd ring and I'd answer it. And I would sit down and start talking and I would pretend like somebody called me with a drug problem. And I say, "Yeah, hey, there's a good drug rehab place right down the road. You can go there and they'll help you and all that stuff." And then I would let it ring again. Somebody would call and let it ring again. And I'd answer it and I'd say, "Oh, yeah, hey, no problem. Just go down there to the courthouse and get you a divorce. It ain't no big deal. They'll give you the paperwork and all that." And I'm talking on the phone, right? Everybody in church just looking at me like, "What in the world is going on?" And then somebody else, I'd have it three different phone calls or something. Somebody else would call me with something, and I would give them some worldly advice. You know what we're doing? We're living on everything else besides faith in God. We're living on everything else except having the decisions to make right then to help somebody with God right that minute. And then I would go back and finish and say, "Hey, we don't tell people to go down to the place to get a divorce and all that. We pray right on the spot. God, give me something right now. I need something to tell this person right now about you and how much you love us and all that." And be able to answer God right then. Well, you know what? You can't do that if you're living in the future all the time. And you sure can't do that if you're living in the past all the time. We live where? 2015. Things are different in 2015. Amen. And you need a godly answer for 2015 to help people with their problems. Amen. What a blessing it is to be that, because we don't know what it's going to be on tomorrow. We have no idea about that kind of stuff. And he says, "For it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." I tell you, that life changes in an instant. I preached the other day and I used these men and I got them written down that I thought about these men before, how life changes in an instant. I'm losing all my notes here. But how life changes. I like to bring some biblical things in there, amen, every now and then. I haven't much tonight. It says, I believe what I was thinking about, I believe God tried to show us that through the children of Israel, how life can change in an instant. Amen. In an instant.
Amen.
You know, God wants us to live for today. And He tried to teach us that because how much food did God provide for the children of Israel? daily, that day. They wasn't to live on yesterday. What happened if they tried to live on yesterday's food? Spoil. Went bad. What if they tried to gather up for the next day? What happened? Went bad. What food stayed good? The food for today. What you have today. What about their clothes? Do they have closets like we have?
No.
Oh my gosh. Tommy, can you imagine those ladies, those children of Israel, if they looked at y'all's house? I mean, if they went into some of y'all's closet, they walked in the wilderness for 40 days or 40 years with what? The same pair of shoes.
Yep.
Now, if them ladies come to your house, they would probably pass out when they seen how many pairs of shoes you got in your house.
They never
neither did y'all. Amen. You just go get the next sale. Amen. Don't go there. So they were living for that day. God taught them how to live for that day. Not for tomorrow and not yesterday or any of that stuff, but to live for that day. And we know that how an exciting life Paul lived, right? I mean, Paul had an exciting life. You know what, Paul? I thought about all the different things about Paul. I try to think about how Paul lived his life. And Paul made one decision in life. That was it. One decision. Besides his salvation. He made one decision. And that was to follow God. That was his decision. When he woke up that morning, it wasn't deciding what he was having for breakfast. It wasn't deciding what he had for lunch or if he was going to take a nap that day. His decisions wasn't whether he was going to go to work or go to church. It wasn't none of that stuff. His one decision, and he made it up right at the get-go, was he was going to follow God. It didn't matter what else came in his way. It didn't matter if there was a beating in store for him that day. It didn't matter if he was going to heal somebody that day or God was going to use him for anything else. His one decision that day was to follow God. He wasn't thinking about tomorrow. He wasn't thinking about the beating he got yesterday. It was what God had for him today. And you know what his life was like? Fresh and new and exciting every day. You know what? I want my life that way. I would love for my life to be that way. I would love to wake up every day and just say, God, this day is for you. Whatever you have for me today, that's what it's going to be. Because I'm going to tell you, life does change in an instant. I mean, in an instant, life changes. I gave you that scenario about Saturday. You know, I can't remember if I did. I tell them about all that, how life changes in an instant. I did? All right, I'll skip that one. You think about this for a minute. Hey, I got a lot of them. Hey, you think about how life changes in an instant. Hang on to that. I might need that in a minute. Amen. I was thinking about this right here. This is a good one. Maybe I did use that one too. Here, you just keep all of them. I'm going to finish this up here. But life changes so fast that you and I need to live for today. What God has for us today. Because if you look at that one verse right here, in the last part of verse 14, it says, it is even a what? Vapor. That appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. You know, I can't even imagine what eternity's going to be like. I can't. I think about that all the time. And I tell you what will keep you and I going and keep us excited about the Lord. What's coming up next month? Vacation Bible School's coming next month, right? One of our most everybody in here that I know works in Vacation Bible School. One of the most hectic weeks of my life is Vacation Bible School. I mean, it is like, oh my gosh, all them kids. I'm human. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm human. I'm afraid to walk in the door sometimes. Man, I'm afraid how many teenagers came. I'm like, oh man, there was 50 last night. How many's going to be tonight? Because them little devils, man, they wear me out. Amen. I mean, when I see them, I think, man, I'm going to have to put up with them suckers. And I'm worried because I know I'm going to lose my temper. And I know they're just going to push my buttons. And I'm going to get so mad and all that stuff. And I know y'all doing crafts and everything else face the same thing with what y'all are doing with those teenagers and everything else. You know what keeps me going? Thinking about eternity, amen. Thinking about when Jesus comes again, amen. Thinking about when He takes me by the hand and walks me through the promised land. Helps me get through that week of Vacation Bible School, amen. is they don't think about when it's over, because you know what happens next? It happens again next year, amen? If they take your Bible school for a child of God, don't never end, amen? It's just going to be a different year, maybe a different place, but there's still going to be vacation Bible school. But what keeps me going is thinking about the eternity when Jesus Christ comes again. And those sort of things just help us, because we're all human. But think about how quick life is. You know, I wish all of y'all in here are older people. We're all mature people. We are. Except for these couple in the front here. You know what I wish? I wish that on Wednesday nights, I wish somehow Sister Leslie could talk to them teenagers and make them understand how short life is. I wish Brother Ricky could just talk to them and explain to them how short life is. And Sister Melanie and you ladies in the back and Brother James, and to try to get through to their head to make them understand how short life is. You know, I try to tell them that. You know what? They look at me like a, what do they call that? A bull looking at the horns or something, whatever. Thank you. A deer in the headlights. I knew some of you older folks helped me that. A deer in the headlights. They just look at you like that, like, what? You're an idiot. You're a fool. And I teach them this verse all the time about how short life is. But you know what? Sometimes I think when we get older, we sometimes forget that too. I mean, you know, I'm a realist. People don't like talking to me about that. I made a lady cry last week in my office because she said, you know, she's 40, hit 40. I said, well, you're half over, honey. And she was like, woohoo! Hey, life's short. What do you think you're going to live to be 200 years old? I mean, if you're 40, you're half over. If you make it past that, praise God, you made it some more. But that's a reality, is it not? I'm really on some bad people's list now, amen. But it's a reality. And the reason why it needs to be a reality to you is to understand that life is short, and we got just a little bit of time to be an influence on those around us. Just a little bit of time to help somebody else know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. You and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to my kids tomorrow. I don't know what was going to happen to my oldest son, Ronnie, tomorrow. I don't know that. We have today. Today is the day that we have. What did he say? Paul said in the Bible, he says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not any of that stuff. It's today is the day of our salvation. And I tell you, today is the day that we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Ain't that right? Did you read that stuff? Did it help you? You want to preach it next time? You will? I know you will, Roman. Roman told me one of the greatest things the other day. He said, I'm going to one day, Daddy. He said, my name's Roman. He said, I'm going to go to Rome, and I'm going to preach in the streets of Rome one day.
Amen.
Now, my wife ain't real happy about that. She said, do what? I said, amen.
Amen. That's right.
Life is short. Amen. I tell you, it ain't nothing compared to what's going to happen one day. I was sitting there thinking about Revelation chapter 5. I started to preach on that tonight, Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 21, I think it is. And I know life is full of heartaches. I know life is full of all that kind of stuff. And I know Joel Osteen has the answers for all that stuff and everything else. But I'm going to tell you something. My Bible tells me that one day... See, I don't fret today too much. I've been through the trials, buddy. I've been through the bad times, and I'm sure I got more to come. I'm sure that storms don't end. They just keep coming. I mean, you get to be on the smooth water for a little while. You get to fly on the mountaintop for a little while. But the storms come. Whether they're through your children, or whether through your own stupid mistakes, or whether they're through God. Amen. But the storms come. And one of the things that just makes me excited, one of the things that helps me out, and I'm sure a lot of y'all can relate to this, a lot of y'all are in pain tonight. Your back's hurt, your leg's hurt, Brother Billy fell, he hurts, Brother Corky's sick. I mean, all of us in here got problems, we all hurting, all that stuff. But you know what's exciting to me? I got a couple minutes. What's so exciting to me? My Bible tells me that one day, that God Himself is going to wipe the tears from my eyes.
Amen.
You know, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible, that one day that God Himself It's going.
Can you imagine the hands of God touching your face and wiping your tears away? There's going to be no more tears. I'm telling you, that will make you get through vacation Bible school with no problem. Amen. That'll make you get through them heathen kids that you're raising. Amen. That'll have you get through these boring messages sometimes. Amen. The thing that one day that God Himself is going to wipe those tears away. I hang on to that verse all the time. Because I'm telling you, God is so good to us. God loves us, cares about us. We are His children. And I'm telling you, the whippings come, but it's because He loves us, He cares for us. The greatest thing in the world is being a child of God.
Amen.
Knowing where you're going. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this.